Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for sermon this morning is a psalm that we sang a bit earlier. Just want to reread a couple of verses for you, the first and then the last two. Psalm writer says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Then verses 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's fun for me to read that account from Genesis chapter 32 and try to picture what that was like when Jacob wrestled with the Lord. There's some things we know about this account that the Scriptures tell us. We know that Jacob was all by himself that night. He had sent his family and his flocks and the servants to the other side of the river, and he's all alone in that night. We know the Lord appeared as a real human being. We know that the Lord couldn't get away from Jacob. That's kind of odd. We know that Jacob limped away from that encounter with the Lord because God touched him in the hip, and he was limping afterwards for the rest of his life. You know, the name change there from Jacob to Israel. In that account, there's some things that are kind of odd. You know, when God says, let go of me, you probably should do what he says. Right? God tells you something, you do it, but Jacob didn't let go. Why not? Why did Jacob hold on to the Lord? Quite simply, it's because Jacob knew that the Lord had made him some promises. 20 years before this wrestling match took place, Jacob was by himself again one night. He was leaving the land of Canaan and had to flee because his brother Esau was mad at him. God gave him another dream, that stairway to heaven, the angels ascending and descending, and God said, I'm going to give you this land, and everybody in this world is going to be blessed through you. Jacob knew that promise. He spent 20 years with his uncle, and God blessed him with a family, with flocks. And then God said, go back to this land that I have promised you. And right before Jacob's about to enter that promised land, he said, I'm not letting go, Lord, until you bless me. Jacob prayed with the full knowledge that God had given him these promises, and he's holding God to those promises. He knew them. We understand this idea of wrestling with God in prayer. We wrestle a lot of different times. Months ago, I began wrestling with the Lord in prayer as I considered the call to serve as your pastor here at Abiding Word, and I believe that you all were wrestling in prayer as well. I had a call to serve another congregation and to serve here, and you go back and forth. God, I don't know what the right thing to do is. I don't know where to go. Finally, it gives you that peace of mind. You make a decision. You're confident in it. Even after I accepted the call, praying about what it would be like to serve as a pastor here, and I imagine you were praying the same thing. What will our new pastor be like? Somebody this week, I met a lady, and she said, I wondered what you would look like. Tall, short, fat, skinny. We don't know. We pray a lot about a lot of things that we don't know. We don't know right decisions. We don't know what we should do. Lord, give me guidance. Help me understand that wrestling. But Psalm 121 gives us a fantastic reminder that in all that wrestling and prayer, we really do know. It's the reason we pray in the first place. We know. We know the Lord. And we know where the Lord is leading us. There's a familiar scene in a lot of movies where the main character is in some situation that has just got him at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do. So finally, he looks up and says, God, if you're out there. A lot of people do that. It's not prayer because they don't know the Lord. They know that there's some God out there. It might be up in the sky. It might be in some image. It might be in their own heart. But everybody knows there's something. The psalm writer knew a whole lot more. The psalm writer said in the first verse, I lift up my eyes to the hills, not to some force of nature, not to some God who may or may not be out there. My eyes to the hills, to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This psalm writer prayed because he knew who the Lord was. He knew that all these fantastic displays of glory in nature were the fingerwork of God. He understood the Lord was watching over him, and so he prayed. He knew those things. Psalm 121 begins a series of psalms that your New Testament or your Old Testament lists as the Psalms of Ascent. To ascend means to go up. And the idea behind these psalms, people think that Jews might have used them as they walked up to Jerusalem for Passover or another festival. Maybe they used them as they walked up the steps of the temple, praying as they ascended. Or maybe just as they stood in the temple courts and raised their hands in prayer, these psalms were a part of their worship life. But these psalms were spoken and sung and used because these people knew the Lord and all that He had done and continued to do for them. Listen again how the psalm writer describes it. He says, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. You may not use the Psalms of Ascent in your prayer life, but you pray, Our Father, dear Lord Jesus, Heavenly King, whatever the words you choose, you pray because you know the Lord. And you know He's watching over you. You know He's protecting you. You know so many things from God's Word about all that God has done for you in Jesus, your Savior. And what a blessing that is for every day of your life. When we pray, we know that the Lord fully understands us. He has a handle on every problem we're wrestling with. He knows our fears. He knows our challenges. He's got it. And we get to talk to Him about it. In my previous congregation, there is a very high percentage of veterans, an active duty military, probably well over half of our congregation. And there was a veterans group that met on a monthly basis. And one of the members of our congregation who is active duty led the group in Bible study. Myself and the other pastor just sat in. It was amazing to me that in this group, the oldest man is 82 and joined the military in the early 60s and served in Vietnam in the early 60s, mid-60s. And the younger guys were in their early 30s, maybe late 20s, served in Iraq and Afghanistan. These people who were separated by 50 years in age could understand each other in a way that I never could. The guy that talked about serving in Vietnam and seeing what he saw could talk to that guy who served in Afghanistan, seeing what he saw, and they got each other. They understood. Military change in 50 years. They told stories about what happened then and that never go on today. But they knew where the other person was coming from. They had this beautiful bond. It was understood. We want that in our relationships. We want people who understand us and know what we're going through. King David said in Psalm 139 that the Lord knew everything about him. The words that were going through his mind before they even came out of his mouth. David said, Lord, you know where I am all the time. And even before you knit me together in my mother's womb, all the days that you had written for me in your book were laid out. We also have in our God somebody who understands our struggle. We have the Lord Jesus who lived as a real person. The New Testament tells us that he was tempted in every way that we are, that was without sin. He faced all of those temptations that are unique to each of us. He knows it. He understands us and invites us to pray to Him and know that He gets us. But that very comforting truth of approaching a God who knows everything about us often is also a great struggle for us in our faith. Because we can put it together. We understand the promises of God that He won't let your foot slip, that He will watch over your coming and going. We get that. But we also see our life. We know what we're experiencing. We say, why? If God is watching over me, why does my foot slip? If God really understands my temptation and knows what a struggle it is for me, and how easily I give into it, why doesn't He take it away? Why do I have to wrestle with that same temptation over and over again? I can't master it. Why doesn't He change? And when we start to think that way, maybe even talk that way, somebody else enters the conversation. And that's the devil. He loves to egg us on. The devil's kind of like that friend. You may have one of them, and that friend who always is going to agree with you. No matter what you say, you know you can talk to that person. They're going to always see things your way. They're never going to challenge you. And that's the devil. You're right, he says. Why bother? Why doesn't God do this? Maybe you don't know so much. When we start to think that way, thanks be to God, He reminds us what we know. And we know it on the basis of His Word because it's been revealed to us. We know that on our own we have no right to approach this God in prayer. We know that our sins have separated us from God. We know that God does not tolerate sin. And the only thing we have the right to know on our own is the full understanding of God's wrath and judgment against our sin. That's what we know. But thanks be to God, we also know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that we through His poverty might become rich. We know the good news of a Savior. We know the comfort of a soul that is at peace, a soul that is still, because Christ has taken away the sin. We know what it is to gather around the Word of God and have it speak to our hearts, personally, individually. We know what it is to be a baptized child of God, rejoice in the truth of our sins washed away in a relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus. And we know what it is to stand before the altar and receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin, my sin, yours. We know those blessings that God has showered upon us. And we know that one day, He's going to take us to the fulfillment of those blessings, our eternal life in heaven. That's where the psalm writer ends. In the last verses of the psalm, he says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore." Since we know the Lord, we approach Him in prayer. We hold Him to His promises, but we don't make demands of Him. We understand the life that God has promised us in this world is going to be filled with struggles and have problems. God's Word is clear about that. But we also know that our God is interested in us, not just for this life, but for an eternity. Again, we know it on the basis of what He's done for us. And knowing those things from His Word drives us to our God. It moves us to Him in prayer and opens our ears to listen to His responses of love through His Word. A couple months ago, I had a conversation with a lady from my previous congregation. It was very brief. It was a Sunday morning, and she walked into church, and she was looking very cheerful. I guess everybody looks cheerful when they come to church. And I said, "Good morning, how you doing today?" And she said, "Pastor, I had such a wonderful time with the Lord this morning." It was before she came into church. She said, "I was praying. I was in the Word." She said, "It was such a good time." And I don't think that way, I guess, or I never thought about it that way before, having a good time with the Lord. But it's a neat picture, I think, especially for people who understand relationships. You know, we know the people we love to hang out with, the people that we kind of deal with. We know what it is to have a good time. And with the Lord, we have a good time. It starts kind of down a little bit. Because when we go to the Lord, we go in humility, we're dust and ashes. We have no right to approach Him on our own. Nothing to offer God. All we bring is sin. And we have to be honest. We have to admit that about ourselves. That's hard. But yet we know it's glorious. Because in that condition, souls that are burdened by the weight of sin and guilt, the gospel comes. That's what the Lord brings to us. A message of peace and forgiveness through our Savior. That's a message that keeps coming. He keeps repeating it. That's a good thing for us. It's a beautiful thing for our souls and for our life now. It's a fantastic thing for our eternity. Because we know the Lord. And we know exactly where He's leading us. That'll be a good time. As we begin our ministry together here at Abiding Word, there are many things we don't know about each other. Many things we pray about. We pray that God would enable us to work together. We pray that He would build us up in the faith. We pray that God would give us opportunities to proclaim the gospel here and in our community, around the world. We ask Him to keep us faithful, to strengthen us to meet those opportunities, and to bless the sharing of His Word. And we're going to wrestle. We're going to wrestle together in prayer and in Bible study. But we're going to do it because we know. We know the Lord. By the God's grace, we know the Lord our Savior, and we know exactly where He's going to bring us one day to our eternal home in heaven. And until that day comes, may our prayer this morning always be that we have a good time with the Lord. We have a good time with the Lord our Savior. May God grant that for Jesus' sake.